in your Bibles to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. And I will read the entirety of this psalm, the psalm that we were just singing a moment ago. Psalm 84. This is the word of our God. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we pray, Father, for your blessing upon the word that we just read, and we will hear in the preaching. We pray, Father, that you bless the preaching of your word by the power of your Spirit, and that it may accomplish the work and the end for which you have given it to us. And so we pray, Father, that you bless our time together, and that you give us open hearts and minds to embrace the word, to see the beauty of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to cling to him more and more by faith. And so we pray all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think that many of you perhaps are aware of the assignments that many men in the military receive. And many men that perhaps even you know what it is like to miss home. They know what it is to be away from home. They deploy for months on end and to remote corners of the world, and they are longing day and night to be able to return home again. And it is said that where home is where the heart is. And for us as Christians, home is whatever we find the presence of God. It is in the tabernacle of the Lord. It's in the assembly of the saints. That's where we feel home. That's where we feel more comfortable. We don't feel comfortable in the world, but we long, like the psalmist showing to us in Psalm 84, all the affections that he has for the church, for being in the presence of the Almighty, for being in the worship that we offer to the Lord and that the Lord requires of us. And this affection, the affections of the heart are what are in this psalm expressed here in Psalm 84. The affections that are the things that, the desires that govern your heart. They govern what you love. They govern what you enjoy. They govern what you hope for. They govern what you are zealous about. And I say all this because by God's grace, our affections, our desires should lead us to seek His presence, to be in the meeting place of the Lord where He has promised that He will meet with His people. In other words, this is what Augustine said, that you have made for us, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So we are made for the Lord, and we are restless, looking for this resting place, and our resting place is in the Lord, in His presence. And so the psalmist explains with great sense of love and affection the journey of the pilgrims that were singing as they were going to the holy hill to meet with the Lord. And they were looking forward to this great event that happened once a year because for them worship was something special. It was the best thing in the world. Because apart from worship, nothing else mattered. And so when they met with the Lord, that was home. And I believe that for you, that's the reason why you're here tonight. Because this is the longing of your heart. This is the desire of your soul. And so tonight from Psalm 84, we'll consider three things. First, we'll consider the believer's expectation for worship in the house of the Lord. Secondly, we'll consider the believer's strength for worship in the house of the Lord. And thirdly, the believer's plea for worship in the house of the Lord. Let us consider first the expectation that the believer had, the pilgrim had, for being in the house of the Lord. Notice what the psalmist says here in verses 1 through 4. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Notice the sweetness of this expectation that the psalmist had as he is writing these words of this journey, of this pilgrimage, to meet the Lord, to be in the dwelling place of God. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. How lovely. See, the psalmist reflects on the sweet experience, the sweet loveliness of the place of worship. It is a beautiful thing that the psalmist knows is not directing our thoughts so much to the place per se where people meet, but what happened in that particular place. Because that's the place where God dwelt. This is the place where God met with His children. And it is interesting here that in Psalm 84, the psalmist expresses how lovely is your tabernacle. But it is plural in the original language. How lovely is your tabernacles or your dwelling places. And this makes sense in the context of Old Testament worship. If you know how the tabernacle or the dwelling place of God was divided, you find the three sections, the courts, then the sanctuary, and then the Holy of Holies. And then the Holy of Holies was the meeting place. This tabernacle embraced the worship of God. It was the place where Jehovah met with His people. And the question here is, why is the psalmist expressing these words of great affection for the tabernacle of the Lord of hosts? Why is it so special? Why is it lovely? Well, if you remember the story of redemption, in the beginning, what happened with Adam? He sinned and fell. And we who were in Adam as our federal head, when he sinned and fell, we sinned in him and fell in him in his first transgression. And so just like Adam was kicked out of Eden, the consequence for all humanity, everyone who by ordinary generation proceeds from Adam, was ejected from the sanctuary that the Lord had established, which was the Garden of Eden. That's the place of meeting that the Lord had prepared for Adam. And so if you remember also what happened in the tabernacle, the Lord, the creator of all that exists, he made a way for sinners to have access to his very presence. And if you remember what happened in the tabernacle, the worshipers knew that the Lord had established the structure of worship there, and the worshipers were able to see those who represented them, who represented the people, who were making sacrifices on their behalf. And one of the priests entered the Holy of Holies once a year to offer sacrifices for expiation, for sins. That's why the psalmist is describing this place of the tabernacle, the place of worship, the place of meeting, as a lovely place. Because now we're in Old Testament worship, we read that the believers could approach the place, the tabernacle. They made their journey to worship the Lord without fear of receiving the wrath of God for what they deserved. And so do we. We come to worship the Lord. The Lord comes and meets with us here in this place of meeting, and the time and place that he has prescribed for us to meet with him. And we come here with boldness, entering the Holy of Holies through Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. And his blood shed on the cross has opened the new and living way for us to come through his sacrifice once and for all to his very presence. That's why for us we can join with the psalmist and say, "Oh Lord, how lovely is your dwelling place, the place where you meet with your people." And notice also the longing, the deep longing for this place. Notice in verse 2, "My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." See, the psalmist is consumed with the desire to be present in the dwelling place of God. And this is consistent with the new nature, with the new disposition of the Christian. This is the desire of our hearts. The Christian is someone who wants to know God, who wants to be in his presence, who wants to have this great communion with the Lord. He wants to grow in all these areas. He wants to know him more. Is that your desire tonight? I know it is your desire. That's why you're here. I know that's what you think throughout the week. How can I grow in this communion with God? How can I know him more? That's the longing of your heart. You want to know the God who saved you. And notice here the intensity of the desire that the psalmist has to be in the presence of God. Notice the wording that he uses here. My soul longs. There's a longing. There's a fainting. There's a crying out. There's a desire that involves every part of our being. You see, it's not just our soul. It's not just our heart, but it's our body and soul. We are saved in body and soul. That's why we have even a future expectation that in the last day, the Lord will raise our bodies to be united with our souls, where we will be with a glorified body in the presence of our Lord. But this is the desire that all of our being yearns, longs, faints, cries out to be in the presence of the Lord. That's why this is the experience that drives our affections. This is home for us. Because the psalmist, as we do, we want to be in the same place with God. You want to be, this is your desire, you want to be where the Lord dwells. You want to be in the same house with the Lord, breathing the same air where you meet with the Lord. And that's why the Lord's Day is so special for us. This is why we look forward during the whole week for the Lord's Day. And you see, an unbeliever never speaks with this kind of language that the psalmist has here for us. The unbeliever never yearns, faints, and cries out for the presence of the Lord. See, even people in our day, sadly, even in churches, some claim that they can meet anywhere with the Lord. That they can worship the Lord in the park or at the beach or in the car. Because they say, well, at the end of the day, God is everywhere. But when you read what the psalmist is describing here, this is a lovely place. This is the place that the Lord has prescribed for His presence to be with His people. See, this is worship. And in the Lord's Day, something special happens. That doesn't happen during the week. It doesn't happen at home. This is the nearest resemblance to heaven. We get to experience heaven on earth on the Lord's Day. This is a special time of communion with God. Now, how often we see even people who come to worship, they are present, and they, instead of saying, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You see that their bodies are present, but their minds and their hearts are elsewhere. They are not in worship because their heart is yearning, longing, crying out, running after the things of this world that is passing away. But the Christian says with the psalmist, my soul, yes, even faints, longs for the courts of the Lord. All of our beings are expressing this desire to be with the Lord. Because we have a living God. Notice the word that he uses to describe our God. And it's a living God. It's not like the God of the world, all the idols. We have a living God who is worshipped by a people who are also alive because of their Son. Because of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice also the admiration here in this expectation of the psalmist. Notice the admiration that he demonstrates. In verse 3, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. You see, David, who is the authorship of the psalm, may be debated, but the psalmist admires the privilege of the little creatures, of the little sparrow, the little swallow. Even the birds, he says, are able to make their home near the presence of the Lord. Their home, their place of rest. See, their nests are built near the altar. And this is where he desires to be. See, and this is where he desires to be. Do you desire to be in the presence of the Lord? See, the language of home here, even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, implies a dwelling place. The home is a place of a place of safety, a place of security, a place of protection. It's a dwelling place, a place of rest. It's where also you have a home, and the ones who are inside the home are the ones who have a close relationship with one another. And so this is a place of a real communion. And the question is, where are you looking for rest? Where are you building your home? Where are you looking for security? Where is the desire of your heart that is your dwelling place? And notice all the words that describe this great God. This is the Lord of hosts. And it's very personal. Because this Lord of hosts is not just a powerful deity that is out there. But notice here how the psalmist describes the Lord. This is my God. This is my King. This is the God in whom I find pleasure. I want to be near to Him. You see, Christ is all in all here. And we see Christ here. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who said, and at the cross He prepared a place for us so that we may inhabit His home. So in His house we also must raise our young. Notice the language here of the birds. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. This is all covenantal language. This is covenant theology here. See, children are included in the description that the psalmist gives to us. Because you desire, believing in the promise of the Lord, that His promise is for you and for your children. You desire also that your children may experience what you experience. And they may have this longing, this great affection for the presence of the Lord, for the dwelling place of God. So that's why we long to be near to the presence of the Lord in close communion to Him. And also we know that this is the place of worship where the Lord reveals Himself in the way that He has prescribed to reveal His Word, Himself, His presence, where we can meditate on the Word, where we sing His Word, where we talk and have communion with other believers. And so the psalmist here is having this great admiration for the little creatures, for the birds who are able to be close to Him. If he wishes that he could be in one of their nests, notice the language here. He wishes the close proximity to the altar. And why the altar? Out of all the places in the tabernacle. Because they're placed, if you remember the altar and what happened in the altars were places, the places of where reconciliation happened, were places where the sacrifices took place. The forgiveness of sin was extended through the sacrifices. And so all this is language that is pointing to Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the priests were commanded to shed the blood of bulls and goats, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so this is a picture of God's gracious provision for us in His Son, the Lamb of God, who bled and died, who took our place bearing the wrath of God as a substitute on the altar, at the cross. The cross, which is the pulpit of God's love for us. Notice the words of the psalmist. He continues in verse 4, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you." So there is an ongoing praise. There is a blessedness. There is happiness. There is gladness. You see, the one who praises the Lord in the house of the Lord is the happiest of all creatures. That's why you should not neglect this great blessing. And they will still be praising you. You see, worship is an ongoing task. It's an ongoing matter. It's an ongoing delight for the believer. It happens day and night in the assembly of the holy ones. So we are here with hearts ready to worship, with minds that are focused on the Lord, with lips that are ready to sing His praises, with ears that are ready to receive His word, and with a great expectation that the Lord is going to do His work, that the gospel will be preached and it will accomplish the end for which the Lord has given to us the salvation of Christ Jesus and this great news of the gospel. And so we are receiving this great blessing of being in the presence of the Lord. And this should be our experience. It's our experience. You see, the Lord's Day is where we are re-energized, where we fix our eyes on Christ. That's why the Lord and the Lord's Day is a gift, and it's so precious to us. And I don't know about you, but we wish that we could be here day and night, every day of the week. But that's actually heaven. That's a good news. That's in the presence of the Lord. It's never-ending worship, where angels and the saints that have gone before us, they're praising the Lord 24/7. But this is the ongoing praise and the ongoing worship and the ongoing communion with the Lord that the psalmist is desiring with great expectation. But secondly, you notice also the believer's strength for worship in the house of the Lord. The strength. So where does the strength come for worship in the house of the Lord? Notice in verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. The Lord provides the strength for those who want to worship the Lord. You see, our pilgrims, our hearts are fixed on this journey. All of us are on this journey. And we should have our minds set and fixed, as the psalmist said here, on this journey, on this pilgrimage. It's like a GPS. When you put the GPS, you're going to some place, and you put the final destination. You don't put a place in between the destination. You put the final place, and that's where you fix the GPS on, and that's where it takes you. You see, and the worst thing that could happen to a pilgrim that was on this journey to Jerusalem to worship the Lord was to get distracted along the way and to lose the way. And so when the Lord saves you, and I love what Spurgeon says. He says, when the Lord saves you by His grace, He builds a highway in your heart that leads to His house. See, this is something that the psalmist didn't want to miss. He didn't want to miss this. And the pilgrims were excited about it. They waited for this event, for worship, to meet in the presence in the tabernacle of the Lord, to worship Him all year long. They were waiting for this. What do you wait for during the week, dear loved ones? Do you long for the presence of the Lord? Do you long for the Lord's day? To be in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the living God? You see, blessed, happy, and well taken care of are those who love the road to Jerusalem. And this also shows to us the priority that must be present in our lives. Our priority must be to get to the presence of the Lord. See, this is the heart's priority and desire. Notice here in verse 6, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. See, as they pass through the valley of Baca. See, the journey to Zion, the Christian life is not something that is easy. We'll go through ups and downs. We all go through the high mountain tops and then through the valleys. And the valley of Baca here is described as this place of weeping, as this place of humiliation, if we could say it in that way. It was a dry valley. It's a hard and difficult area for the pilgrims to travel through. There was no water. There was no provision in the place. But notice here the blessing of the Lord and the care that He has for His people. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. So the Lord, with in His grace and His kindness for His people, He cares for us, even in the valley. Even in the valley, He cares for us, and He makes this dry place an oasis for us. See, the Lord transforms this desert into a spring of refreshing water. And this is what the Lord says, if you come to Me, you will drink from this water that I will give you, and you will never thirst. You will satisfy your thirst forevermore. Because from Me flows a spring of living water. And as we all go from time to time through the valleys, we learn from the pilgrim here that trials will come for those who set their hearts on this journey. But at the same time, we, through this journey and in the valley, we know the goodness and the kindness of the Lord. That's why you don't read of the pilgrim here stopping or giving up or taking a shortcut to get to the place of worship. See, the pilgrim didn't stop because of the obstacles along the way. He didn't stay in the valley. Even in the midst of the the valley and the most difficult circumstances, difficult experiences, he knew where the way out was, and his heart was set on the goal. And he grew from strength to strength, or from company to company. More people were joining him because they were all set in their hearts on the same journey. And here we see a lot of Christ in this psalm. So we see that the Lord is the one who went through the valley of humiliation. He's the one who went through the valley of weeping, even to the point of shedding tears of blood. He died for our salvation. He ascended the hill of the Lord. He's the one whose heart is clean and hands are pure, and opened a new and living way for us to have access, so that we may come to the presence of the Lord with all confidence, knowing that we are fully accepted in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? And even now, as he's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, he continues to intercede for you. And he prays for you by name. And even you who are going through the valley of Baca in this pilgrimage, he continues to intercede for you every week. And by his grace, we make it through this valley of Baca. And so all who trust in God grow from strength to strength, from one degree of glory to the next. So you look back in your life and you see what the Lord has done. And you see, this is the experience of every Christian. I look back and I see how the Lord has brought me through difficult circumstances. You see your life and you remember how good the Lord was to you, how the Lord cared for you, how he sustained you, how he protected you, how he brings you with his hand, with his strength, through our difficult circumstances. So in fact, the Lord actually strengthens us through trials, through tribulations. He uses these trials to purify us, to sanctify us. And the good news is that the Lord will never let go of you. He will not let you go. He will bring you all the way home, because the Lord sympathizes with us. We have a great Savior, a great High Priest, who knows our afflictions, who knows our pain, who knows our sorrows. So we have a wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, notice here not only the expectation of the believer, and also this notice the great plea for worship in the house of the Lord in verses 8 through 12. O Lord of hosts, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. And notice even in verse 11 here, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. You see, the journey, the pilgrim here has a resource that the Lord has given to him. The Lord has given to us a toolbox. And one of them is prayer. The Lord has given to you a toolbox with one of the tools that is called prayer. And the pilgrim's praying here to the Lord. He prays to God because he knows that this is the Lord of hosts. This is his God and his King, as he already told us. He is powerful. And so he asks through prayer. He seeks and he knocks. And he comes into the very presence with his plea, because he knows his weakness. He knows his insufficiency. He knows that the valley of Baca has the potential to discourage you and to weaken you. And so he relies on the grace of the Lord. And he receives his grace to go to the presence of the Lord. So you see, the psalmist is praying for the Lord's favor and for his grace. The grace that he finds in no one else but in Christ Jesus. In Christ alone, he finds grace. So Christ is our sun. He is the sun who gives us light, energy, life. He's the light of life, and also He's our shield, the one who protects us and delivers us from all His and our enemies. And notice the language here in verse 9, "Oh God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed." You see, the psalmist is looking for the anointed, for the Messiah, for the Savior, the one who will set him free from the bondage in which he is finding himself, the bondage of sin. And so we find salvation and grace because this is the undeserved riches of God at Christ's expense. And so also we find the hope of glory here. This is what the psalmist is asking for. It's asking for favor and for the hope of glory that is found only in Christ Jesus. You see, and the Lord is so gracious, so kind, so good to His children, that the psalmist reminds us here in verse 11 that no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. What does He remind you of? He reminds you of what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" You see the generosity of our God in Christ Jesus. He's a generous Savior, a generous God. So remember, dear loved ones, that the greatest and the most tangible demonstration of the favor of God in His grace and all His benefits, where they take place, is here in the house of the Lord in His presence. Enjoying the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of His holiness, where you can behold the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and with the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the question is, do you long for the house of the Lord? Do you long for His presence? Do you long to know God? Is that your greatest aspiration, your great desire to know the Lord and to have this close communion with Him, to be in the same place where God meets with His people? Notice what the psalmist reminds us here in his prayer, in his plea. He says, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." You see, this is all humility and contentment of the psalmist as he looks at the pilgrim who is going to the house of the Lord. He said that he will be content to be even one day, if he could, in the house of the Lord than 1,000 days elsewhere. Because he knows what he is going to find in the world. He knows what the world offers. He says, "I'm not interested in what the world offers. I have tasted the goodness and the kindness of the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know what it is to be in the presence of the Lord, and I want more of that. I want to know Him. I want to be in His presence. I don't really care about 1,000 days experiencing the fruitless, useless, trivial things of this world that is passing away. I want to know the Lord. And I'm willing to consider everything as rubbish for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus, my Savior." Is that your desire, dear loved one? I know it is. And the good news is that you find it here. The place of meeting where God meets with His people every week is where you find the great blessing of the Lord in Christ Jesus. It's where you meet in the presence of His Spirit. It's your desire to know His glory. Notice here that the psalmist reminds us here in verse 10, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." In a sense, as the psalmist is talking about here, he says, I'll be willing to take the lowest assignment, the lowest position in the house of the Lord. I will be willing to be the janitor's assistant, if we can say it in that way, for the sake of being in the house of the Lord, for the sake of being close to His presence. If I can just be near to the Lord, I will give up everything in my life. And the psalmist ends, it says, O Lord of hosts, a praise to the Almighty God. And he says, with a happiness, the happiness that has the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. Do you trust in the Lord? Do you want to know Him? The Lord has made this great opportunity for you available every week, every Lord's Day. Is that your aspiration? Do you look for the Lord's Day with great anticipation and excitement? Do you want to be near the Lord and near His presence? May the Lord help us to have the attitude of the psalmist and the great desire and great expectation and this great plea to give up everything just for the sake of being in the house of the Lord, knowing that in Christ Jesus we have great and complete access to His very presence. We are accepted because of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray, Father, that You bless us as we finish this, close this Lord's Day in Your presence, O Lord. We thank You, Father, for the great blessing of meeting with You. Thank You for showing to us the beauty of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that You continue to work in us and that You help us, Lord, to go on this pilgrimage to the heavenly Jerusalem. And until that day, O Lord, when we will see You with not with the eyes of faith anymore, but we'll see You with our eyes face to face, world without end. Amen. Amen.